ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Texas Governor Greg Abbott responding to a new video that appears to show a group of migrants breaching a barbed wire fence in El Paso, overwhelming National Guard troops. ABC's Maria Villarreal reports from Dallas.
Agents that work this area and are familiar with the case tell me that this all started when Texas troops tried to corral migrants, a group of migrants that were actually on U.S. soil. And things definitely got tense after several hours. The governor did post on social media that today he's telling them to put more razor wire back in that area.
U.N. Security Council set to vote today on a U.S.-sponsored resolution declaring the imperative and immediate and sustained ceasefire in Gaza. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez bowing out of the Democratic primary says he will not run while he is facing that May trial on corruption charges, but he has also hinted that he may run as an independent. The escaped prison inmate from Boise, Idaho has been caught along with an accomplice, both men now accused of two murders. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two hospitals in western Wisconsin closed today. HSHS announced in January it would close Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire and St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls. Prevea Health is also closing its clinics across western Wisconsin this spring. Wisconsin voters have their say on two proposed amendments to the state constitution on April 2nd. One of them would ban private donations to local election offices. Sam Liebert is with the group All Voting is Local. He says private money is not the problem.
I think the real question and the real issue at hand is, why are our elections and their administrators underfunded?
The other question would specify who can legally serve as a poll worker in Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Gary New Duluth Rec Alliance is looking for a big check from the city council. According to a Northern News Now report, the organization is seeking $1 million from the Duluth City Council to build a new skate park to go alongside their performance pavilion, dog park, and basketball court. Officials say they're hoping the addition will continue to build the park as an important community space. The city council could vote on the construction contract presented to them as soon as Monday's meeting. A Duluth man has been charged after allegedly sexually assaulting a woman in the Skywalk system. According to court documents, 71-year-old Adrian Tremaine Green Sr. was charged with first, second, and third degree criminal sexual conduct. The victim allegedly approached Green asking if he had any money. He told her he could take money out of an ATM for her and then began making threatening remarks before sexually assaulting her. The victim called the police following the incident, who found and arrested Green. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite Buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But like, when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
That's, like to a former true. Lover.
I got it a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. This is so why I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks hold off the Nets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Brooklyn Nets 115-108. Milwaukee jumped out to a 20-point lead early. Doc Rivers.
The first half, the ball was hopping. It was beautiful. And then we kind of went back to that old, hold the ball, no movement style, which we're talented enough to get away with it, but it's not the way you're going to win in the long run. And we had to play ourselves through that, and I thought we did that.
March Madness, the Marquette Golden Eagles taking on Western Kentucky this afternoon in the NCAA tournament. Tyler Kolek back for Marquette after suffering that strained oblique muscle injury. Tonight, it's the Badgers and James Madison University. Tip-off time, 8:40. Greg Gard on facing JMU's Terrence Edwards.
He's like some of the guys we've seen in our league, just he can score. I mean, he just knows how to find the bottom of the basket. And he's the MVP of that league for a reason.
That's Wisconsin Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Snow.
snow will end this morning, and we'll actually see a little sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high today, 34. Wind will be north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 8 above. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 31 with more snow tomorrow night. That'll be the beginning of our next system that could bring some decent snow and rain from Monday through Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. We made it, man. We made it.
Yes, we survived this mid-spring snow.
You know, I should have gotten on my hands and knees and kissed the ground when I made it into the studio this morning. I don't understand the insanity of people who are in a rush to go somewhere. Man, as I can, you know, I'm driving in, I'm doing 20, 25 miles an hour on and it's 70 is what you can legally go on 94. You reach a certain point and you can go 70 miles an hour. But what good is that if your tires aren't touching the pavement? And so as I came in about 20 miles, 25 miles an hour, maybe max 35. It took me twice as long as it normally takes to get here. I thought I left early enough. I left 35 minutes earlier than I normally do in arriving. And, you know, it was just horrible. And the good thing is that it seems to about be over now. I'm looking out the window and, you know, light flurries. And I think the worst of it is behind us. But for heaven's sakes, there were so many accidents. You know, do people forget? Has it been that long ago, Calvin, that we had snow that people forgot how to drive?
Well, apparently, I guess they weren't expecting it, even though it's been on the news all day well, yesterday.
Hey, you don't have to expect it. You can see it.
Yes, hey, fair man. Enough.
Well, yeah, when your tires don't touch the pavement, I don't care if you do have an F-350, right? You know, and they're barreling through. I've got an F-350. Get out of the way. I'm coming. You know, or people in smaller vehicles. You're in a hurry to get where? Into the ditch? Anyway, man, just fortunate to have gotten here this morning. And, you know, I'm sure by the time many people in this listening audience, if they have somewhere to go, by the time they get there, the roads will be cleared. This is the last one. Please, Mother Nature, please. No more. Uncle, I surrender. And all those things. So anyway, we're going to be joined by Sandy Williams shortly. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And he'll be joining us shortly. But I'll tell you, man, there's so much going on that, you know, that I want to talk about. And one of them I've been talking about a long time. 844-967-2789 is the number. You know, as the believe it or not, still arguing and debating about the budget, the $1.2 trillion budget for 2024. And one of the things that's holding up everything is a decision with the healthcare industry. And so I constantly, you know, I know people get frustrated with me because I talk about our country, I talk about the business community in the country, and I talk about the fact that things aren't fair and just and right for the American people. And here's a prime example. So this $1.3 trillion budget, a $1.2 trillion budget that Republicans and Democrats can't seem to come to grips with. There he is. Hey, Sandy, how you doing, my friend?
I finally figured out the electronics of the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Chrome, magic browser.
Well, okay. Well, you look pretty good. You look like a guy who wasn't scared to death like I was, and you were smart enough to not venture to go out.
Yeah, the meek of heart stayed home using the virtual office option. Yeah,
well, you know, I thought about that. I said, well, you know, I could do that, but, you know, I'm a hardy guy, right? And
yeah, you are. You're tough. And you played Demolition Derby on the way out, hey, which is a fun game.
Hey, yeah. Those other people played Demolition Derby. You know, I stayed clear of the fray. But anyway, Sandy, I'm talking about the $1.2 trillion budget. You know, Sandy, they can't ever get this done. It's every year, over and over and over and over. They can't come to any consensus about what the budget will be for the United States. And it really is sickening because, well, what we'll do is we'll do a stopgap. We can't come to a consensus, but maybe 30 days, Sandy, you and I can. We don't want the budget to.
Well, they reached a consensus on $885 billion for defense pretty quickly. So that only leaves about what, $400 billion to play with. So it's that $400 billion they can't seem to focus on, which is probably because they've already spent so much money in the defense budget.
But Sandy, that can't be acceptable forever, and it's the same thing over and over and over. And then when you look into that other $400 billion that you're talking about, it's whose axe is going to be grinded, right?
Yeah, whose ox will be gored.
Yeah. Whose ox will be gored, right?
Right.
And so, whose ox will be gored? And one of the oxes, if you will, that was at issue is the fact that the health aspect of things, the health bills, the major health bills that are critical, Sandy, to our nation and to the American people, we can't come to any kind of consensus with that.
Well, you know, the health lobby and the public is never quite clear on why we can't come to consensus, because the health lobby is operating in the hallways, you know, instead of the poll booth. And the health lobby, you know, wants to stop things like, I think we talked earlier, like the requirement that hospitals advertise their rates that they charge everyone, including the insurance companies, because, you know, as we all know, when we get our bills that show what our charge from the hospital was, and then it shows what the insurance company settled for, and it's a fraction of the hospital charge. And the poor souls out there who don't have insurance are getting bills for that much bigger number, right? Or are being forced if they don't have leverage, to pay bills higher than might be paid by the insurance companies. And clearly the hospitals are willing to accept less. It's the insurance companies that don't want to get publicized what these deals are.
Well, you know, Sandy, I don't know about you, but I've gotten bills, medical bills from years ago that hospitals say, well, you didn't pay this. You know, your insurance company didn't pay it. It's 4 years ago. It's 5 years ago. And they send these bills to you. And you're like, well, I don't want my credit affected. It's $800. I'm going to pay the bill. And so this billing, there's a problem with billing in the hospital, Sandy. It's always been. And yet when people try to fix it, you get lobbyists who say, oh, wait a minute. We don't want you to mess with that. Come on, Sandy. That's how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Our medical system is broken for the benefit of the people who are embedded in the medical system, right? So it's the third party insurers. It's the intermediaries between the insurance companies and the hospital providers. And then it's the hospitals. And all of them would prefer to operate in the dark.
Yeah, but Sandy, we've got to be able to fix that. You know, I mean, to continue.
Well, particularly because the federal government is the major payer for health insurance. You know, the Medicare makes up a significant portion of the volume. Medicare patients make up a significant portion of the volume of every hospital. So, you know, it's really a disgrace that our political system can't address it directly, but we have to do it in all these sort of circuitous ways. We fix things one little thing at a time. We fix the price of insulin. We take on as if it's a huge battle, the ability of the government to negotiate prices with the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, it's, when you think about it, it's kind of crazy.
Well, it is, Sandy, because you say the government is they pay the most of the freight for all of this. And yet it is the government representatives who should be fixing that and protecting the government, right? Or am I pie in the sky? What is it?
No. You're speaking it's exactly right. That's the disconnect. And part of that disconnect is part of the reason why people are so frustrated with Washington, that they're turning to alternatives, some of which are pretty awful. You know, the Trump alternative is an alternative to the Washington establishment, the so-called deep state. You know, when they take on this notion of the deep state, part of what they're taking on is what lobbyists have created, which is a government which doesn't seem to respond to the people. Unfortunately, it's not going to be more responsive to the people if it's done through an autocracy.
And Sandy, this is both Democrat and Republicans. Clearly, both are guilty of this, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the lobbyists that are most effective operate on both sides of the aisle, and they're effectively using their PACs to get all of the elected representatives in bed with them.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And, Sandy, we got so much to talk about. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Mike Johnson. Speaker Mike Johnson. He hasn't been there a year yet, has he? Who is that?
No, we should not have gotten too connected to him because his half-life is short.
All right. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH. Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Badgers love it.
Wisconsin, the number 5 seed in the South region of this year's NCAA men's basketball tournament. The team's overall big dance record with 10 Sweet 16s and 4 Final Fours. But when did Wisconsin win it all? 2000, 1941, 2015, 1954. The answer coming up. The Badgers are one of only five schools to make a trip to the Big Dance in at least 23 of the last 25 years. Duke's been there 24, and Gonzaga, Kansas, and Michigan State 25 in a row. So when did Wisconsin win it all? UW's first and so far only NCAA championship, 1941. Still a winning slice of Wisconsin. And go Badgers! I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We find ourselves in a world of our own.
As we stroll along together,
welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you know, oh, what a wicked web we weave when we practice to deceive. And Mike Johnson, who's under threat, the Speaker of the House. Poor Mike Johnson, Sandy. He's...
That poor soul. It's not like he wanted the job. Oh, wait a minute. He chased it pretty hard. Why would any Republican want to be Speaker of the House when the half-life of a speaker is becoming maybe less than a weekend? I don't understand it. I'm surprised the news media bothered to learn Mike Johnson's name, because it's going to be a footnote pretty soon.
Well, you know, Sandy, he certainly, when he first got to position, maybe he thought that somehow things were going to be different for him than they were for, what was that other Yahoo's name that was before him?
The
Speaker. Well, have we forgotten him that soon?
Kevin McCarthy.
How could I forget Kevin McCarthy?
Like I said, you know, sometimes you get in some situations where you don't want to befriend somebody because you know something bad's going to happen to them very quickly.
And so Mike Johnson, when he wound up getting the position, came with great, initially, I mean, after he finally got into position, he came with great fanfare because he was able to smile. He's got a nice smile. He's a younger looking guy, and he's always well kept, you know, and his hair is always in perfect places, and he's, you know, but Sandy, he's now under threat because he's trying to get something done. He knows that the budget has to be passed at some point in time, and he knows that the appropriations bill can't continue to be put off, right? The $91 billion or $81 billion.
I think acting responsibly is what cost Kevin McCarthy his job. And I suspect that Mike Johnson has already participated in some bipartisan conduct, which might be just absolutely unacceptable to at least the rump part of his caucus. And by rump, I mean anatomically. That's an anatomical reference.
Well, you know, Sandy, for heaven's sakes, you know, it's not like even Kevin McCarthy or even Mike Johnson himself want to, you know, break bread with Democrats. They do know at some point in time, you've got to get something accomplished. You've got to get something done. And they can't just sit back, you know, with their thumb of fingers in their ears and say, hey, we're not listening to, we're not going to support the Democrats at all. There's some things that are bigger than Democrat Republican, right?
Yeah, I'm glad you moved from thumb to fingers. Because I knew where that was going. The fact is their numbers are so slim and getting slimmer, right? They lose right. Ken Buck now. They've got that. They're down to just the fingers on one hand in terms of a plurality. And you can't hold that 100% all the time. You can't ask 100% of the Republicans in Congress to act irresponsibly all the time. So, as a speaker, you're riding a difficult bull in that there are some people in that caucus who are not going to toe the line on just plain paralysis.
Well, so he's kind of caught because he doesn't even want to bring the bill up because the Senate has already passed the bill. He won't bring it up partially, not only because of, his allies, but because Donald Trump doesn't want it brought up.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's the problem, that they've got a part of the caucus are marionettes on strings, and the puppeteer is got orange hair. He's howdy doody grown up in a very bad way. They've got an irrational puppeteer who's looking out only for himself and his reelection. And I think much the way I said that Israel maybe has to be defended, protected against itself, I think Donald Trump is overplaying his hand. And by doing this is making his reelection probably less likely, because I think the steps he took to block the Homeland Security compromise and the border compromise, as well as this kind of conduct, is not going to endear him to any of the independents who he requires to get elected.
Well, see, and Sandy, you just hit the ball out of the park. He can continue to cater to his base, and they love it. Bring it on. We want more, 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 more. But people outside of that are looking at the realities of what's happening in this nation and the damage that's being done internally to the nation, because we got this one guy who's not even the president yet, but he's, as you stated, he's the orchestrator. He's the guy making decisions to people who are in office right now who shouldn't have to bow to him. He's not in office. Why are they bowing to a man, Sandy, who's not in office?
Yeah, because they're all afraid of the primary opponent that they haven't seen yet, and that he's that he threatens to unearth. And there's no question that within his base, there probably are people in just about every legislative congressional district who are willing to jump up and run for office in his name. I mean, he did just succeed in getting the Ohio Senate nominee, or at least he endorsed him. Now, maybe he endorsed him because he thought he was someone who was going to win anyway. But,
Hey, Sandy,
the guy has a pretty good track record in the Republican primaries, because, as I say, you've got a base in the Republican Party that might constitute at least a very loud minority,
but everybody
who are capable of flexing muscle in the party.
But everybody he's endorsed hasn't always won.
His track record, of endorsements is not that great.
Yeah, but I guess, go ahead.
He does surface candidates in primaries, and there have been a fair number of primaries that have been created by the MAGA movement.
844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, that Apple Watch you have and that Apple computer and all that Apple stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that on the other side. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams and Earl Ingram. We'll be back.
Tune in Friday for a Snowmageddon edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We'll air your grievances. Tune in across the Civic Media Network 4 to 6.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin got off to a snowy start to the day. The National Weather Service issued a winter weather advisory for most of the state through mid-morning. The Department of Transportation was asking drivers to slow down and leave plenty of room for snowplows. Wisconsin's child care industry could run out of government subsidies in June of next year. After that, Governor Evers says there could be trouble for Wisconsin child care centers, the workers who depend on them, and the businesses that depend on the workers.
This is no hyperbole going on here. There will be lots of people that will be going out of business, and we can't afford it as a state.
More with Evers on the Empowered Caregiver this weekend on Civic Media. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth City Council is considering upgrades to some of the popular outdoor recreational areas in the city. Three resolutions were discussed at the City Council's agenda session on Thursday, which could bring big improvements to Hawks Ridge, Perch Lake Landing, and Chester Park. At Chester Park, officials are raising money to renovate and expand the Tom Storm Chalet to make it larger and more ADA accessible. The resolutions would seek grant funding to undertake the improvement projects. The Superior Plan Commission met Wednesday to vote on requests made regarding the Nemadji Trail Energy Center project. Minnesota Power requested that the property where the plant will reside be rezoned for street vacation on nearby undeveloped roads and to reopen the City of Superior's comprehensive plan. All three requests were denied by the Plan Commission, which includes Superior Mayor Jim Payne. Mayor Payne has been a vocal critic of the project due to its proposed location near a residential area. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. A new trailer dropped for American Horror Story, Delicate Part 2. In the trailer, Kim Kardashian and Emma Roberts play best friends who share a kiss. Fans attacked Kardashian's acting ability on multiple platforms soon after, and the New York Post reports that the comments on social media were overwhelmingly negative. People on social media reacting negatively? Whoever heard of such a thing? The 12th season of the popular FX show drops April 3rd and can be streamed the next day on Hulu. The Boss is back. The New York Post reports Bruce Springsteen has resumed his tour that was paused due to multiple illnesses that started last August, 2 days after I saw him live. Winning! One of the illnesses was undisclosed. The other two were peptic acid disease and COVID-19. The Boss is officially back playing his typical 3-hour shows in multiple cities and countries over the next 9 months. Unless he comes down with rickets or scurvy. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Snow will end this morning and we'll actually see a little sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high today, 34. Wind will be north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 8 above. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 31 with more snow tomorrow night. That'll be the beginning of our next system that could bring some decent snow and rain from Monday through Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dude Dad.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Right.
So Sandy, you
this is proof of how committed I am to Apple. These are my Vision Pro goggles. This is the future.
This is
what the future looks like, and it's weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm watching you, and that looked pretty weird, especially with Louie playing in the background.
Well, that's like back to the future.
Yeah. Hey, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, six ways that the Department of Justice says Apple is a monopoly. First off, for those of us who aren't so aware of what that is, I remember as a younger man, if you mentioned the word monopoly, people would be outraged. It certainly was not a part of capitalism. And, go ahead.
Well, monopoly just means that a company is big enough so that it has market power, so that it has the capacity to
control,
set prices, set prices rather than receive prices. And you know, when people think of monopoly, they usually think of J.D. Rockefeller and the mendacious way in which Standard Oil went around abusing the marketplace to defeat all of its competitors and become the sole biggest oil company and had to be broken up. But you can become a monopoly just by the success of your business. So we've had a couple of instances of companies that where there wasn't any mendacity; they weren't actually maliciously trying to destroy the marketplace or to manipulate it. They just got big. So there was Alcoa, and there was a lawsuit brought by the federal government against Alcoa to break up Alcoa as the result of it getting very big. More recently, and the one that was successful was a lawsuit against AT&T. They broke AT&T up into six regional telephone companies because they decided that AT&T was so big that it was going to stifle competition going forward. And so that's the question really here with Apple. I don't think there's much in the way of accusations of manipulation. I mean, there will be accusations about how they conduct the Apple Music Store and the App Store. And the European Union has looked into that kind of stuff to decide whether those business models are anti-competitive. But in the main, this lawsuit, I think, is going to be based on the fact that the Apple phone itself has been so successful that it has something like a 70% control of the U.S. Phone market.
Well,
and so is that too big? And if it's too big, what do you do about it?
Well, a Justice Department lawsuit, this is in today's Political, a Justice Department lawsuit accuses Apple of antitrust violations across its mobile business. Here are six ways the DOJ says Apple stifles its competition. The Justice Department sued Apple this week, and again, here's a couple reasons why. The Apple Store, Sandy, it says the DOJ and states claim the only apps designed specifically for iPhones can be downloaded through the App Store. That lets Apple set the rules and exert control over outside developers. Two, super apps. The DOJ says Apple has long barred super apps or platforms that host a broad combination of many functions out of concern that as users use a super app more, they depend less on the smartphone's proprietary software. Number three, cloud streaming. For years, Apple blocked the cloud streaming gaming apps, which like Netflix allowed users to stream many different games in the same app. The complaint says that lets Apple protect its monopoly and limit consumers' access to content. Number four, smartwatches. The case says Apple has limited Apple Watches to only function with iPhones, effectively making them exclusive to the iPhone ecosystem and discouraging users from switching to other smartphones or smart brands. Number five, Apple forces third-party payment services to use its own digital wallet rather than offering their services in separate apps. And number six, the green bubbles. When iPhone uses messages, non-iPhone users, their texts show up as green bubbles in messages. Android users also suffer from pixelated videos, unencrypted messages, and a lack of editing features. So, Sandy, that's a lot of language that, you know, is over the head of most of us. Is what the government saying altogether make sense to you?
Sure. And the European Union antitrust has already moved on these kinds of things. I mean, the Apple business model has always been to have an Apple ecosystem that's all tied together, that provides to the buyer an experience that's very easy, so long as you have all your Apple products connected to one another. And I think that that business model was fine until the Apple phone became such a big part of the phone business that tying everything together was sort of like what's called a tie-in. If you tie other products into a particular product and say you can only have this if you buy this, that can be an antitrust violation. And that's what's now being asserted, that there's all these sort of tie-in influences related to the smartphone. I suspect this lawsuit will get settled by Apple by changing a bunch of those practices. They've already changed one of those practices that's identified, and they'll probably change others as well.
You know, Sandy, you mentioned something about the reason why antitrust is such a big deal. I mean, why it's there, why the antitrust laws. So something doesn't get so big that it can dictate everything. And right. And then the people would be at the mercy of those companies. How is it then, Sandy, that our government can address those issues and we can make things happen? Aren't there lobbyists on the side of Apple and others who are also on Capitol Hill who are fighting against that? Why are they not successful like the lobbyists for the hospitals are?
Well, the lobbyists have been quite successful with respect to, ever since Ronald Reagan, it's basically the fact that our antitrust division of the Justice Department has sort of been comatose, okay? This is getting a lot of attention because finally the antitrust division is doing something, and they're doing it with respect to Apple, which is obviously, from a capital standpoint, the biggest corporation in America, so it's a big deal. But they should be awake and be doing things in a whole bunch of areas. Happily, they also stepped in on the Albertson grocery store merger and have kept that from happening because that was going to be anti-competitive. I mean, it's important for our capitalist system that our marketplaces be policed so that they actually work, and they don't work if there are individual entities in the marketplace who have substantial market power. Much as I love Apple, and all of their products, I suspect that Apple does have market power and probably does need to now, because of its great success, needs to re-examine some of its policies.
So, Sandy, this system of government that I'm learning more and more about the more you and I interact, this aspect of it, the antitrust when they put this together, our governmental system, they had checks and balances. They were brilliant in the system that they put together. The more I hear this, Sandy, and learn from what I'm hearing from you, the more I realize just how complex and how the minds that put it together really thought about all these things. But they couldn't foresee the lobbyists. They couldn't
Our government evolved. Antitrust was something that started at the beginning of the last century, developed in the 30s with the Robinson-Patman Act. The antitrust division was quite active in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. But lobbyists have sort of anesthetized it because of all the private interests that can exert influence in government. Now, so you're right. You know, government needs to operate unfettered from being controlled by those whom it needs to control and regulate. And Adam Smith, 300 years ago, foresaw this, okay? Foresaw the need for regulation, foresaw the need to make sure that those who were regulated didn't control the regulator. Boeing, incidentally, Boeing Airlines is something that should have been saved from itself. Its lobbyists were too effective. They're now experiencing the downside of having a government that was too weak in its direction to actually save it from itself.
844-967-2789 is the number. You can join Sandy and I at any point in time through these discussions. Sandy, I will have to say to you, the more I'm hearing you talk, the more frustrated I'm getting, because how do we turn this back? How do we turn it around? The lobbyists now are gained, they have sway, and so the people don't. And so the people are the ones who are paying the price, because that lobbyist is in between our elected officials and ourselves. And so how do we get that back?
Well, you know, it's hard to reverse. Take, for instance, I mentioned Boeing, but Boeing to me is a striking example. There are only two commercial aircraft manufacturers in the world now, Boeing and Airbus, okay? That's too few, right? That's not competition. Those two have a great deal of knowledge about one another. There used to be, you know, when we used to get on planes and fly, we used to fly on DC-3s and DC-9s. DC was Douglas Corporation. That was a competitor to Boeing. So there used to be actual competition within America for the construction of commercial aircraft, and it kept those aircraft manufacturers on their toes, right? Well, now Boeing is too big to fail. We couldn't let Boeing fail. It's the only commercial aircraft manufacturer in America. It's the only alternative to Airbus. So it is actually too big to fail. And we've allowed that to happen by essentially having our Defense Department and Washington decide that it was perfectly okay for the competitive aircraft manufacturers in America to merge.
See, Sandy,
and essentially get narrowed down to one.
So see, Sandy, you said we've allowed it to happen. And yes, America has allowed it to happen, but mom and pop, the average American, hasn't allowed it to happen. We don't even know it happened. And
right.
And so how do we, you know, Sandy, how are we going to be able to get to a point where we understand, which is part of what we do with this show, to try to get people to understand how these things are working and that they've got to get involved in it? Is it safe to say that?
Absolutely. You know, the shoe hits the ground regularly with various parts of our economy. So you've got Boeing. People aren't really focusing on the government when they look at the problems of Boeing. They're focusing on Boeing. But
right.
It was the government that let it all evolve into the circumstance in which we have one aircraft manufacturer in the United States. And so, you know, I'm like I said, I love Apple products, but I'm glad to see that our antitrust division is being vigilant about making sure that our marketplace isn't dominated by particular manufacturers.
You know, Sandy, you always say this is complex stuff. Yeah, it is. The inner workings of our government is very complex. And I'm learning more and more every day how complex it is. But we can't run from it. We've got to run towards it if we're going to fix it. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. It's Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You can join us at 844-967-2789.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights, was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, Walk Like a Man, the Four Seasons. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And we're talking really about, even though it's an election year and we all, you know, they organize us and they get us, yeah, get out and vote, man. Yeah, you got to get out and vote. And let's vote, man. We're all biting our fingernails, Sandy. Is Trump going to win? Is Biden going to win? Well, you know, whoever wins, in the end, if we don't get involved, if we don't understand and try to learn the inner workings of the government, Sandy, we're going to continue to fall further and further behind. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's been a slow creep, but it's been happening since the 1980s, really, and the lobbying business has exploded in Washington. It went from being a very small group of folks in the 1970s to a fair universe of a huge business with billions of dollars being spent on it in Washington, and all of it is happening because it's been discovered that in the hallways of the Capitol, much can be accomplished, much more than can be accomplished by running around households and trying to get the grassroots to get behind you. You can simply get a lot of support in Washington if you're a legislator by talking to the right people.
Buttering the right hands. Let's go to Gene from Eclair. Good morning to you, Gene. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, guys. This is a great topic. Every day I learn something new. I'll tell you, you're right that we really need to be paying attention, but we need resources and we need groups. And I know there's a lot of groups that work on this. And we really need to have information to the people regarding how our legislators vote, who influences, where their money comes from. And people really need to pay attention to that, because I noticed that a lot of things were starting to move when Democrats were in the House. And we have a younger generation of Democrats, and we have an older generation. And the older ones know kind of how this works. But the young ones, and I'm talking about, a lot of people complain about the Squad and those young people and the progressives. And those people were really working for the people, but they had just got in and they had a lot of good ideas and they worked really hard. But their emphasis were on the people. And there were a lot of them that were very brilliant. And people need to watch sometime. I mean, I couldn't believe it when it was day and night, because I watch live. you know, when I saw the House working on protections for the people, you know, reducing prescription drug prices, you know, they had a whole list of things, you know, housing, and consumer protections, you know, when we got Obamacare or, you know, the Affordable Care Act. I mean, that came from us, the people, because we were all complaining. People were getting kicked off their insurance if they stubbed their toe and had to go to the emergency ward, and later they decided not to pay their claims. I mean, there were so many things that the Affordable Care did for people that it's unbelievable. But then you had the Republicans, we don't want that, you know, people, we're not going to give charity, you know how they talk. Well, anyway, these young group and the older group, and the older group was teaching how this works. And I mean, all of a sudden, there were Republicans running the place, and it was like, what the devil? And the focus was on entitlements, and everything that hurt the people. And to me, it was like day and night. Hey. And remember, I've never belonged to a party, and my eyes were open big time.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much. We need more people like you who are on top of it. Really appreciate it. Tom Pomelle. Tom, you say what?
We the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget it. Here's the thing. I really, really implore everybody, learn the difference. And maybe Sandy can even explain it. I'll try to. There is a difference between private and public. Public means we the people own it. There is no profit motive. Private means it's a private ownership. So as an example, when you have things like the roads, when you have things like cable, when you have things like this, you better make that power, electricity, you better make that stuff in the public sector, because the private sector wants to make money. When you get it into the private sector, you no longer have control or recourse over the issues. And I'm just going to give you guys a big example of one that's coming up, and that's going to be internet. You may have a bunch of companies calling themselves something else, we sell internet now at this cheaper price, or there are only three maybe companies that actually have internet. That's Charter, that's AT&T, that's Verizon, and that is throughout the whole country, and that is Comcast. Those are your four companies. Anyone else that says that they might be a smaller company that's providing internet, they're getting the lines directly from those companies. That is a monopoly, people. And the thing is, if we don't get on it, if we don't pressure our politicians, then basically you're not going to have any choices, and they're going to be able to raise your rate to whatever that is they want on the internet. That's a huge, huge one. But yeah, learn the difference between public and private. And if Sandy, if you can explain to people the difference between public and private in a better way, I would please welcome it. Thank you guys so much.
Hey, have a great weekend. Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you know, both Gene and Tom kind of pointed to the fact that we've got to open our eyes in this country, right? We've got to
make sure that our country doesn't get under the thumb of the big businesses that have gotten so big that they have not only market power but political power. You know, the combination of market power and political power is a deadly outcome. The answer to market power is either break up the company or regulate the company. And so electric utilities are regulated by the government, which secures power over the private company. So you can't have a combination of public and private.
All right. 844-967-2789. Up next, you bet.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Coming up Friday on Matt Nair On Air, it's time to recombobulate. Dan Schaefer will join us from the recombobulation area. Don't miss it.
It's time to ride into spring by listening to this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday at 7, 10, 1, and 3 for your chance to win a Chula Vista getaway in this statewide contest. Plus, every contest entry is in to win one of two grand prizes that include new bicycles, outdoor patio furniture, and a portable smoothie bullet blender with a total value of over $1,000. Get ready to ride into spring. Civic Media, hometown radio, refreshed. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Secretary of State Antony Blinken meeting today with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as the